Hello and welcome to the Change and Transition podcast with me, your host, Crystal Deborah. Now, today is a good day, and it's a good day because I will be interviewing the Pete Matthew from the Meaningful Money podcast. Now, the reason why it's a special episode for me is because I really like Pete. I think he's a great podcaster. He has helped me personally with personal finance and how to get my finances in order and understand pensions and budgeting and all of that stuff. He really breaks down money so that the everyday person can understand it. I think he's brilliant. And so that's why I took time out, along with my friend Lorraine, hi Lorraine, to go down to a pub in London and meet Pete when he had a meetup down here in London. And I just had to ask him, would you be a guest on my podcast? And guess what? He said yes. So the reason why he is on this podcast today is because I've asked him about how can career changers manage their money. Now, one of the reasons why people don't change careers or they're afraid to change careers is because of money. Some people, they're on a really good salary, and sometimes changing career could mean that they are on a lesser salary. Some people have bought homes and they're thinking, okay, if I change careers, can I still afford the home that I live in? So I've put all of these questions to Pete, and he has very kindly answered all of these questions. So I advise you to sit back, take notes, really listen in to what Pete has to say to you today. And I hope you really enjoy this episode. I really enjoyed recording it. Listen up.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, Pete. How are you?
Really good. Am I coming through loud and clear?
You are perfectly clear.
Fantastic.
Yay. Well, thank you, first of all, for agreeing to be on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. How could I refuse you?
Thank you very much. I just wanted to just get right into it, really.
Yeah.
So do you want to just tell everyone about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Pete Matthew. I'm a chartered financial planner and certified financial planner, which is kind of a posh way of saying I'm a financial advisor, really. But if I put it like that, it means that people don't sort of back away in fear in case I sell them a pension or something. So I am managing director of a very long established financial advice practice called Jackson's Wealth Management, all the way down in Penzance in the very far west of Cornwall. But you and I know each other because you've said some very kind stuff and been a listener to my little side hustle, which has become a bit of a monster. And that is a podcast and a website called Meaningful Money, which is the UK's number one independent personal finance podcast. So yeah, so that's who I am.
Thank you. So yeah, just to put it out there, his podcast is amazing, Meaningful Money. I've listened to it for a while, and it's really helped me, especially around pensions and just budgeting, really. So thank you so much for all that you do. So as you know, this podcast is all about helping people to change and transition. And this episode is specifically around career change. I always hear people talk about how they want to change careers, but they're worried about money. So that's why I thought when I saw you, it'd be great if you could get on the podcast and just really talk to people about it. So really, I just wanted to ask, what should people be considering when they want to make a career change from a financial standpoint?
Yeah, great question. The obvious thing is to understand what the salary implications are of making a career change. So are they going to be higher or lower? Really, that's what matters, right? So if they're going to be higher, then great. It's going to be an easier transition than if it's going to be lower. Mm. One thing to be aware of, if you're going to be earning more money in a change of career, is not to succumb to what's called lifestyle creep, where, you know, you're earning a bit more, so you can spend a bit more, and you don't really think that through, and you just get used to a higher lifestyle. You know, I'm all for living for... If you're about to take a new higher salary, then resolve at outset to make the most of that and start to put some of that money away for your future. Now, if it's going to be lower, if you're going to end up on a lower salary, then you may need some kind of reserve behind you to help you smooth that transition. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But one thing you'll definitely need is some good financial control. So you're going to need to be able to budget well. You're going to be able to know what your costs are so that you can stay on top of that stuff. The other thing just to bear in mind is that when we make a career change, whether that's from one employer to another, or whether we go from employed to self-employed or whatever, there are certain benefits that come along with our jobs very often. So pensions, you've already mentioned, death in service benefit, which is kind of life insurance, which is linked to your employer. So if you leave, you haven't got that anymore. Some folks may also have other benefits like medical insurance. So you need to understand what the differences are between your current role and your new role, and whether you might need to fill some gaps.
Wonderful. So it seems like there's actually a lot to consider there. There are even something I didn't really think about. You did mention pensions. So if someone does go from one career to the next, how will their pension be affected?
It might not necessarily be affected. Most companies have workplace pensions now. That's now the law under something called the auto-enrollment rules. So you'll probably have a pension where you are currently. Now, when you leave, it will basically stay there. Obviously, your employer won't be contributing to it anymore. You still can very often, but you'd need to kind of detach it from the old scheme, from your employer's group of pensions. So you just take it with you, essentially. So some of the, like the Nest scheme, you know, it's still yours, and you can continue paying into it if you want. Even if it's not a true sort of auto enrollment scheme and just a normal pension, you can still take it with you. You can continue paying into it. Now, when you go to your new employer, they may have their own scheme, and you know, they certainly won't pay into yours for you. They will want you to join their scheme. So you may end up then with two pensions, your old employer's pension scheme and your new employers. It might be worth consolidating the two, putting the old one into the new one. It's something called a transfer. It can keep things tidy. You know, plenty of people have said to me over the years, you know, I've forgotten I had that old pension. And staying on top of that as you move careers is really important financial discipline. So consider tidying it up. There's benefits in seeking advice sometimes with that, because pensions are complex, and you need to understand the cost implications of transferring one pension into another. Sometimes, certainly if you're older and you've got an older pension, then there may be some benefits in there which might be lost if you move it into a different scheme. So advice can help, but for most of us, that isn't necessary. Most of us now, we're just building up a pot of money in our pension plan. And, you know, if you stop doing that in one because you move an employer, you know, you can continue doing it in another one. And really just consolidating is just like, you know, shifting money from one bank account to another these days. It's dead easy. But just think it through and take advice if you're in any doubt.
Okay, thank you for that. Yeah, I think taking advice is always a good thing to do if you're not sure. So my next question is around people who already have mortgages. So I'm down here in London, as you know, house prices are ridiculous. But some people manage to get onto the ladder quite early. So I have a friend actually who got into a really good profession and got a mortgage straight away. But I also now know that he wants to change careers, but he's concerned because he still needs to keep a roof over his head. So what should he be doing if he wants to change careers? What should he be doing around keeping a roof over his
head? Yeah, good question. It's important that you don't have to tell your mortgage company if you've changed employer, by the way, or changed role, but you will have to when you subsequently remortgage, right? So most of us, when we have a mortgage, we maybe have a 2, 3, or 5 year deal, you know, like a fixed rate or something like that. And when that comes to an end, obviously you can stay with your existing mortgage provider, but your payment will almost certainly go up because you'll be on their variable rate. And so most of us remortgage at that point, excuse me. So when you're remortgaging, you're basically reapplying to a new lender. And so they're going to want to know, you know, what are you doing for a living? What are you earning? How long have you been doing it? And affordability now is a key factor. They want to know, can you sustain a new mortgage? So, you know, if part of shifting career means a change in your income, that's going to be a factor. So I suppose you could say, well, okay, I'm going to perhaps make sure that my mortgage is set up and maybe fixed for 5 years so that I know I've got at least that long until I have to worry about it again. Of course, you still got to make your payments, right? That's like the first thing you do when you get paid, you make your mortgage payment. So, you know, just think it through and try and plan ahead. So if you think you might want to change career next year, then think about tidying up your mortgage so that you know it's fixed for 5 years or whatever, so you know what you're going to be paying and that you know you haven't got to remortgage for a few years. So you can settle into the new role.
I see. Okay. So what if somebody ends up on a lower salary then? Mm. So, you know, they've gone from getting really good money, and because they've had to, they're going to have to retrain and perhaps.
Mm. Yeah.
Beginning. I mean, what would somebody like that have to do?
Yeah. So this is, this is a challenge, right? It's not an insurmountable challenge, but it is a challenge. So you're going to need to budget pretty hard, right? You're going to need to be strict. So you need to understand what the minimum take-home pay is you need to survive, okay? And obviously, if the new role doesn't provide that, you've got an issue. You might need to take pretty drastic action then, maybe moving back home, taking in or becoming a lodger with somebody else. You know, these are drastic actions. But if this career move is that important to you, you'll do it. But you need to understand what your minimum take-home pay needs to be in order for you to pay all your bills. Now, as long as you can live on the new money, you will be fine. But if you've got used to a higher amount, it's going to take good control, good budgeting skills, and laser focus to be able to stay afloat. You know, if you're used to being able to go out and, you know, go have drinks and meals with your mates whenever you want, and suddenly you are several hundred pounds a month worse off, that's going to eat into your social life. So you're going to need to be prepared for that. I suppose one way of easing the transition is, if possible, to have a bit of money put aside. Just be careful not to burn through it, though, because, you know, let's say you manage to put 5,000 quid aside before you make the career change, but you're now sort of, I don't know, 1,000 quid a month worse off. Well, if you maintain your old lifestyle, you're going to burn through that fund pretty quick. So, you know, it's about control, really, Crystal. It's about thinking ahead, planning ahead, and keeping day-to-day financial controls and good habits in place. I'd love to say there's a magic bullet, right? But unfortunately, money is best and will serve you best when you take control of it and you tell it what you want to do. So there's no sort of shortcut to that, I'm afraid. You've just got to get control, but understand your situation, understand your outgoings, and go from there.
It just seems like you really have to just know what's coming in, what's going out, and really consider how much you want this change, and is it viable, really?
Very much so. You're in control of what's going out far more than you're in control of what's coming in, really. You know, if you're going to make a career change and your salary is going to drop, you've got to choose whether you take that or not. But you can control what goes out, and that's where you need to focus your efforts.
I'm listening to this. Okay, so just slightly linked to that. So yes, having a pay cut can happen when you change from one career to another, but there are also a lot of people who are considering going into self-employment. So I know this is something that is huge at the moment, as you know. What about people like that? How much money should they have put aside before they get into it?
Sort of how much money is a sort of how long is a piece of string question, right? So if you're a single person, you're still living at home with mom and dad, and you're not paying them very much board, if any, you're going to obviously need to have less put aside than if you've got a partner and kids and a mortgage and all that sort of stuff. So it very much depends on your individual situation. So there is no how much, it's how much do you need rather than how much does someone need. It's a very specific thing. But there's some things you need to think about before you make the leap into self-employed, and some things you need to do to prepare. You know, the most important thing, and I've come across this loads of times in my career, the most important thing you can do is to make sure right from day one you keep your business money separate from your personal money. So if you're going to go self-employed in whatever role, make sure you have a bank account for the business. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you're a limited company or you're a true self-employed person or whatever. Keep your business money separate from your personal money. Do not mix the two. It's a separate bank account, you know, separate cards. Don't ever be tempted to just dip into your business bank account to pay for your Sainsbury's shop. It is a really bad idea, and it's going to make your life far more difficult. If you put really good habits in, you know, we're talking about control again, right from day one. So I'm talking about, make sure you stay on top of invoicing. So if you are billing somebody for some work, bill them as soon as it's done, stay on top of them and chase them for payment. Don't let it go 3 months and then wonder why the money's not in, okay? So stay on top of invoicing, stay on top of bookkeeping, keep your receipts. It's so easy these days with on-the-go apps. You know, you can use Xero or QuickBooks or something like that, Free Agent. These are brilliant online tools for running business finances. And you can, you know, literally take pictures of your any receipts the second you receive them, and then you can lose them if you want because you've got a photograph. And so good habits from day one, staying on top of invoicing and bookkeeping, really, really important. And it's important that you tell HMRC the revenue that you've gone self-employed, because they'll need to make note of that. Might have implications for national insurance contributions, stuff like that. And you will obviously need to do a tax return. So, you know, a good accountant can really help you. Certainly a good bookkeeper will really help you. You can, of course, do it all yourself. But just think about where you want to focus your efforts. It might be worth paying a good accountant 500 quid a year to do your business tax return or your personal tax return. You know, it's better that they do it and it's done on time than you leave it go, forget about it, get fined, all that sort of stuff. So decide where you want to spend your time, put in good controls, and get help and advice if you need it.
Wonderful. Okay, I've noted that. Okay, so I mean, you've mentioned a lot about sort of bootstrapping and making sure that you reduce the spending because you're the one who's in control of how much goes out. But what about making more money so that you can? Yeah. So I know that at the moment you've got a series of people that you're speaking to who are now self-employed, but mainly online, the ones I've listened to anyway.
Yes, they are.
Yes. So what other ways that you're aware of could people implement or use to make more money?
Yeah, there's never been a better time than now for making money in a million different ways. So yeah, the people that I'm interviewing for the current season of Meaningful Money are people who have built businesses online primarily. Very often they have started it as a side hustle and it's become such a big deal that they've been able to leave their employment and make a go of it and support themselves and their families through it. There's lots of ways to make money online. You know, you could rent a room with Airbnb. If you've got a parking space in front of your house, you can rent that out. I know that's tricky in London, right? You know, you could, there's gig economy stuff you could do. You could eBay stuff that you don't want anymore, the amount of stuff that we all accumulate. You know, Depop for clothes. There's loads of ways you can make money if you put some thought into it. It takes time and hard work, but the people that I'm interviewing for this season generally have an area of expertise. So one of them was a corporate trainer, one of them is a PR expert, another guy built a business helping IT businesses. And he started producing content online. They started writing about their expertise or recording a podcast or whatever and built an audience. Now it takes time and hard work to do that. But if you build an audience online, which has never been easier, I mean, you're doing it now with this podcast, I'm doing it with mine. Then if you build an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you, then there is an income stream there potentially by providing even more value to them. So, you know, the days of having necessarily to work two jobs for other people or three jobs, you don't have to do that anymore. Your evenings and weekends, if you're prepared to put the work in, could be a significant extra income stream through any of these methods. You know, my colleague here, had his garage converted and they weren't actually really using it, and so they now Airbnb it for 55 quid a night, you know, and it doesn't take much effort to them at all, really. So there's loads of opportunity. You just got to look for it, decide what you're going to do, and then go all in. You know, don't be half-hearted about anything. Nobody makes money by being half-hearted about anything. You've got to go all in, throw yourself into it, and be prepared to sleep 6 hours a night rather than 8 or 5 hours a night rather than 7 and put the work in to make a success of this stuff.
No. I understand you really have to put in the work.
Yeah.
But I think also if it's something that you're passionate about as well, you don't mind. I mean, even with this podcast, I don't see it as work at all.
Totally.
I just love it. I enjoy it. I was just with a colleague earlier and I was telling her, oh, I'm going to come and interview Pete Matthew and I'm so excited. So,
it's awesome. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing Meaningful Money for 8 years, you know, and I still get just as excited writing a podcast, getting behind the mic, shooting a video. I've had a new light delivered today, a video light, and I'm so excited. It's ridiculous, you know, and there's so because I love it, I keep going. And you have to when you're going to build an audience like that. But, you know, you just got to start and then keep going. That's the trick.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I've promised people that the podcasts in general will not be very long because of people that go. But Pete, thank you so much for giving me your time, for helping the audience. Just before you go, how do we find you? How do we find out more about you, what you do?
Yeah, okay. Best place is at Meaningful Money. So if you Google Meaningful Money, you'll find me. It's meaningfulmoney.tv is the website address. If you want kind of my best thinking in one place, then I've recently written and published a book called The Meaningful Money Handbook. Just, you know, search for that online. You'll find it on Amazon or anywhere really. And that really is everything you need to know and everything you need to do to set your finances on a really firm footing for the future. Been great to join you, Crystal.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, have an enjoyable day. And yeah, we'll speak soon. I'm sure you enjoyed our conversation and hopefully learned something from our discussion. I certainly did. Now, don't forget to pop over to Pete's website and make sure that you subscribe to his Meaningful Money podcast. It's awesome. Now, just before you go, why not visit me on Instagram? It's at they don't tell you, no apostrophe. Tell me what you'd like to know when it comes to making changes in your life, and I'll do my best to help. DM me, answer questions I post, comment on posts. I want to hear from you. And I'll catch you on the next episode.